Are you suggesting that the Ford versus Ferrari verse is the same cinematic universe that Alex Garland's Civil War happens in? Which is
yes,
the versus cinematic universe.
Yeah, well, the thing is, the confrontation...
Oh, the cinematic universes. The cinematic universes.
The confrontation between Ford and Ferrari at Le Mans precipitates indirectly the election of Nick Offerman as president of the United States. And then the events of Civil War. So, yeah, I believe that.
I'm trying to think of ways to work in, like, Alien versus Predator and Kramer versus Kramer into the...
Alien versus Predator versus Kramer versus Kramer versus Ford versus Ferrari.
Yeah, exactly.
Versus X versus Sever.
whoever wins, we lose.
Weirdly, Ford won.
Yeah, wasn't expecting Enzo Ferrari to go out at the hands of the Xenomorph, but...
You know, and also, you didn't expect that that Kramer won also spit acid, you know?
No,
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
It's, and when the Shelby Cobra had that second mouth, man, what a movie that was. All right.
Do you want to do a sync point?
Oh, yeah.
During this?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Trash versus Future Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, it's free versus one.
Yes, it is. Riley versus November versus Hussein versus repeat guest Shanti Singh. Shanti, how's it going?
Good. Good. You know, it's I think the partial eclipse is kind of happening right now, but you can't really see it from here. So.
Oh, this is really going to affect my fantasy Mesoamerican ball game league.
yeah.
The portents. Not good.
Tenochtitlan Rough Riders are going to be caught in a point shaving scandal. when it turns out that all of the sacrificial victim hearts that they gave to the referee, half of them were cattle hearts.
No. Yeah, you just fudge the numbers.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right. Anyway, welcome to the show. If given that Shanti is here, you know that at some point we're going to be talking about a little town on the West Coast that is in the news more and more lately for being insane.
The place that where dreams are made. Yes. What city that might be? Who can speculate?
Carson City.
Azusa, California. It's got everything you want from A to Z in the USA.
Well, they're actually building transit in Azusa where they're not really, where they're shrinking transit in San Francisco.
Why the reason we called you to, well, we didn't call you today. We got in touch with you a few days ago. That's how podcasting works.
The reason we summoned you here.
the reason that we got rid of all of the reagents that we put in our summoning circle to summon Maddie Lipchansky to talk about one weirdo American city, and then replaced them with all the reagents we put in the summoning circle to summon you to talk about another weirdo American city, is because San Francisco has been weird in its own new and interesting way, specifically as, I would say, the political tendency defined by replying to Balaji Srinivasan, whose book, The Network State, we have read on this show and who we've discussed at length in the past, so you probably know who that is beginning to gain, if not coherence, then enthusiasm and much spilled ink as a political project.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's like he's like, I don't know. I wonder how much, too, like Balaji's like taking credit for a lot of stuff where he's saying like, you know, this is like he's saying California Forever, which I'm sure we'll talk about later. That's Network State. And that, like, there's all these different, of course, all the projects that you guys have talked about, like Prospera or Praxis, all that stuff. But I think he's kind of latching onto that, like, of pointing to a lot of stuff too that, like, maybe is happening with, like, that's not really being done by him, but maybe like his associates or something. And he's just like, see how our movement is growing. I did watch a little bit. I tried to watch some of the Network State conference on YouTube before this podcast, but I stopped. I was just incurring too much brain damage.
It's very funny to be like, you know, we are the hidden hand. I'm like basically the Moriarty of urban planning, and then the sort of master plan turns out to be get racist with it. Like, fucking what else is new, you know?
I mean, it's like the set, you rip off Balaji's mask and it's just Robert Moses. You rip off that mask and it's just a racist guy.
Beneath this mask is an idea, and ideas are bulletproof, and the idea is more racism.
Also, doesn't he live in Singapore? Okay, so this is where I've been trying to figure out and can't quite figure out where Balaji technically lives. And whenever he's like, whenever he's on, like, he's got his sort of podcasting studio setup thing, but it could be anywhere. And someone told me he lived in Singapore.
I do think it's a good idea to figure out where these people live in general. But the thing is that, like, none of the answers are going to be satisfying, because the answer is always the kind of, like, international non-country of wealth. Like, whatever city they're in, it's always, like, in sort of, like, it intended to be, at least, this kind of, like, supranational 1% exclave from it, you know? Well,
you remember there was that, on finance Twitter, there was this clip from an article circulating about Steve Cohen.
Yeah, of course I remember that, because I'm huge on finance Twitter. Yeah. I'm a big deal on, like, weird finance Twitter. It's one of the, like, more ironic FT guys follow me. Yeah,
so that is sort of true. So Steve Cohen, if you to remind you, is the head of Point72. He's one of, like, the wealthiest people in all of history. And anytime he travels anywhere, because, again, he also doesn't live anywhere, he makes sure that a group of, like, consultants get sent out ahead of him to, like, fit out everything he will see and everywhere he will stay, so it's exactly like his home. And there's has a whole extra hotel room that's just set up to be his exact 12 monitor setup office. That is the best example of the international placeless country of wealth I have ever heard.
Yeah.
Any case.
Really, really sad and alienating.
Yeah. Well, I don't suppose any of those contradictions will be heightened anytime soon.
No.
Who would do that? Anyway,
what do you need 12 monitors for, is my question. I've been resisting getting a second one for, like, a decade at this point.
One of the stories about him is that his 12 monitor setup once allowed him to mount a defense against an insider trading charge, because he was like, look, I don't focus on any of this shit.
Yeah, he's like a Mentat, you know? Or he's, like, playing Subway Surfers on one of the, like, screens
playing,
in the corner.
No, he's playing 12 instances of Subway Surfer at once. He's like a guy in the park playing 10 chess games at once, but instead he's playing 10 games of Subway Surfer in a hotel room while his family just goes about their business.
I just, the thing is, right, I the gap between, like, me and this guy has seldom felt more acute as me, my desk is too small to fit a second monitor, this guy having, like, his 12 monitors carted around. The monitor gap is, like,
it's
you,
like,
know.
But he employs an entire company to do, he's basically just doing this for fun. He doesn't need to do any of this stuff. Anyway, I wanted to talk also about one brief bit of British news before we talk about Neom, because my goodness, has there been some Neom news.
Everybody's been getting blackmailed.
Yeah.
You're all in so much trouble. This is one of the things, right? And we don't know whether this is going to turn out to be, like, a state actor or a non-state actor, but not for the first time in my life, I sympathize with MI5, right? Because their busy, like, daily bread diet of surveilling people, right? And, like, cracking into their phones and, like, overriding their civil liberties. They have to take a break from that to, like, herd a bunch of MPs into a room and then sit them down in front of a slideshow, the first slide of which is, don't send pictures of your dick to strangers on the internet once you get elected. And I really sympathize.
That's the thing. There is nothing that British MPs love more than responding to an unsolicited nude picture immediately without any questions. Okay, so for those who don't know, especially Americans, there's been a honeypotting scandal in Parliament where the same person or people purporting to be either Charlie or Abby have been sort of texting male MPs being like, hey, I saw you around the bar the other day. What are your favorite state secrets, more or less? You know, that's exaggerated, but not by a whole hell of a lot. And some of them just, like, sent nude pictures, and I don't know, maybe, like, to their credit, most of the people who received the unsolicited nudes were like, well, this is clearly a honeypot. I won't be engaging further. However, and this is a quote, the Times understand...
This is why GCHQ and MI5 do the sort of yearly don't send pictures of your dick on the internet training, you know?
The Times understands that two MPs did respond by sending an explicit picture of themselves.
But the reason why this got out in the first place is William Ragg, who is not a name that I thought was real, got successfully blackmailed, and they got, like, enough compromat on him for him to, like, hand over a bunch of MPs and journalists' phone numbers. And then what that compromat is, or why it would be effective, is just not gonna ever be disclosed. No. So, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So, wait, like, what party is Billy Ragg, old Billy Ragg, the MP?
Billy Bragg's Wario is a conservative, he's like a gay conservative MP, and like he got blackmailed on Grindr, which is embarrassing, and then gave up a bunch of phone numbers off of it, which were then used for these kind of like cold calls. And now China or whoever, question mark, has like... adds two more leaves to the big binder of like MPs' genitals photos.
Well, maybe when the war comes, those are going to be the battle standards, and everyone's going to be too embarrassed. We've been here before.
I mean, if you're a state actor, right, and you're going to do this kind of shit, I think it behooves you to like stay on that level of immaturity. Just fuck around. Like, I want to see Medvedev post them on Twitter. Like, cut loose with it.
Yeah, it's. Are you suggesting like that they should they should start doing schoolyard bullying to MPs?
Yeah, basically. You know,
this is just a truism, basically, that now, increasingly now, but always, like your common British MP is basically a cattle person. They are nothing but just impulses mediated by varying amounts of alcohol for the most part, and are best understood as Prince George in the third Blackadder series, basically. Yeah.
Well, also, like, predictably, and to an extent this is like inevitable because like politics is a small world, but like it is also like that Westminster is so deeply incestuous that all of these people are like very, very vulnerable to this kind of thing. Because there's, you know, 1 degree of separation from William Ragg to fucking the guy who is likely to respond to a naked picture with a naked picture unprompted. What a great system we have.